జీవన యమున తరంగాల పైన మోహన మురళి రాగాలలోన.
తెలుగు వన్ రేడియో అండ్ ఇంటర్నెట్ టోరీ శ్రోతలకి ఒక ముఖ్య గమనిక. ప్రతి శుక్రవారం వాషింగ్టన్ డీసీ నుంచి ప్రొఫెసర్ మోహన్ గారు నిర్వహించే మోహన మురళి గానలహరి లైవ్ కార్యక్రమం యొక్క రికార్డింగ్ ఇప్పుడు మీరు వింటున్నారు.
We have a caller online అండి. హలో, గో అహెడ్ అండి.
హలో, రత్న కుమార్ అండి, తీరు నుంచి. నమస్తే అండి.
నమస్కారం అండి, రత్న కుమార్ గారు.
బాగున్నారా? నాకు ఒక క్వశ్చన్ అండి. ఇప్పుడు మా ఫ్రెండ్ వాళ్ళు వాళ్ళు గ్రీన్ కార్డ్ ఫైల్ చేశారండి. షీ ఫైల్ ఫర్ గ్రీన్ కార్డ్ అయితే ఆమె ఎక్స్పైర్, ఆమె చనిపోయిందండి 1 ఇయర్ బ్యాక్, ఒక 6 మంత్స్ బ్యాక్. హస్బెండ్ ఏమో డిపెండెంట్ కింద వచ్చారు, ఆమెకి డిపెండెంట్ కింద. ఇప్పుడు వాళ్ళ స్టేటస్ ఏమవుతుందండి? వాళ్ళ గ్రీన్ కార్డ్ అప్లికేషన్ ఇదని పేరు మీద ట్రాన్స్ఫర్ చేస్తారా? ఆ క్వశ్చన్స్. వాళ్ళు ప్రస్తుతం ఈఏడ్ మీద ఉన్నారు. ఐ థింక్ దే హావ్ ఆల్సో యూపీ డాక్యుమెంట్స్.
Yes, right now there's nothing can be done, but there are some new regulations that are coming up, and we've been hearing about them, that you know, the by the petitioner dying in family based petitions, the petition should not die. The petition should be allowed to continue, and that person should be able to get the green card. But I don't think those laws have been put in place as yet. But again, I can check. The last time I heard that there was discussion of, you know, potentially having such a law, but I don't think it's as yet been implemented and been enforced as a law.
It is sorry, only employment-based petition, and it's not a family-based petition.
Right, whether it be family-based petition or employment-based petition, it's the same thing. As per immigration laws, presently as they stand, unless the petitioner is alive and is willing to petition, the dependent beneficiary cannot get a green card. So if the petitioner is no longer
alive... Should they leave the country or should they notify the INS? What should they do now?
Yeah, they should notify the INS that this has happened and submit a copy of the death certificate and ask for, on humanitarian grounds, for relief.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Andy.
Thank you for the call, Andy. We have one email question, Andy. I have renewed my H-1 visa last year, but my passport still has expired visa as I have not left the country since. Is this legal? Or do I need to go out of U.S. to get my visa stamped? The question.
Well, if the person has filed for an extension and if the I-94 has been extended, then the person can remain in the country and work until the I-94 expires. It's only if the person needs to travel do they have to go out of the country. Yeah, so as I was saying, basically the H-1 visa is required only to travel. And to remain in the country, what you need to look at is whether you have an I-94 or not,
mm-hmm.
which is still valid, which has not expired.
Okay, we have another caller, Andy.
Hello, Andy. Namaskaram.
Namaste. Ever maatladutunnaru cheppandi.
Yeah, na peru Yashwant, Andy.
Yashwant garu maatladandi, Prashant Reddy.
Yeah, actually, tribal university gurinchi meeku already baa telusu untadi. So, naaku ikkada oka immigration question, Andy. Na H-1B file chesanu. సో నాకు క్వేరీ పడ్డది అనమాట. నా H-1B Jan 24th కి అక్కడ USCIS కి రిసీవ్ అయింది. బట్ ఇప్పుడు క్వేరీ ఏంటంటే, Jan 18th నుంచి నేను అవుట్ ఆఫ్ స్టేటస్ ఉన్నావు, నీ H-1B అప్లికేషన్ 24th వచ్చింది. సో ఈ 6 డేస్ నువ్వు అవుట్ ఆఫ్ స్టేటస్ ఉన్నావు, దాన్ని నేను ఎట్లా ప్రూవ్ చేయాలి ఇప్పుడు అని, అది క్వేరీ అండి.
యా,
ట్రై వ్యాలీ అండి.
ఓకే, సో యూ ఫైల్ ఫ్రమ్ ఎన్ F-1 టు H-1,
రైట్?
And you Tri-Valley closed down on 18th and you filed
on 18th.
And you filed on 24th.
Right, Anya.
So the RFE, they're basically asking, explain your status between 18th and 24th. Ante na?
Right, 6 days.
Right. So basically what I would do is respond saying and asking for non-pro-tunk relief. So basically you're asking for humanitarian relief informed them that you were not aware that it was closing down or that there was an issue with the university, and that you know, you filed for a H-1 as soon as you got an offer, or maybe if you were aware, then as soon as you became aware of the issue, you filed for a change of status. Therefore, on humanitarian grounds, please approve the change of status, as the outer status period was only 1 week.
Okay.
So your lawyer, whoever it is, must apply on a nunc-pro-tunc basis, asking for humanitarian relief.
Okay. And then, you know, already IC వాళ్ళతోని ఇంటర్వ్యూ చేశాను నన్ను లాస్ట్ వీక్ సో అది మెన్షన్ చేయమంటారా ఒకవేళ ఇట్లా ఇంటర్వ్యూ కూడా అయిపోయింది అది నాకు ఎన్టీఏ కూడా ఇచ్చారు అన్నమాట అవుట్ ఆఫ్ స్టేటస్ అని చెప్పి ఎన్టీఏ ఇచ్చారు
ఓ ఐ సీ యు హావ్ ఎన్ ఎన్టీఏ
యా సో అవుట్ ఆఫ్ స్టేటస్ అని ఎన్టీఏ కూడా ఇచ్చారు
ఓకే మీరు ఎన్టీఏ ఉంటే మీ H1 విల్ నాట్ బి ఆఫ్ ఎనీ యూస్
అంటే ఎన్టీఏ రాకముందు H1 ఫైల్ చేశానండి
Yeah, I know, but now you're in proceedings. You understand? You're in removal proceedings.
Yeah.
Once you're in removal proceedings, whatever you filed for, even if you filed it before you were in removal proceedings, whatever has, even if the removal proceedings have been issued after you are in removal proceedings. So what you need to do now is, I don't think even humanitarian relief you can ask for, because once you're in removal proceedings, you cannot file, you know, change of status ane dem undadu. But there's no harm in doing the, whatever I told you to do anyway, because there's no harm in it. I don't know if you have, what did they ask you at the interview and then?
Just to like, ప్రైవేలీ కి ఎందుకు వచ్చావు అని సమ్ బేసిక్ క్వశ్చన్స్ అడిగానండి సో వాళ్ళు చెప్పాను నేను H1B ఫైల్ చేశాను ప్రాసెస్ ఉంది అంటే సరే నీకు కోర్ట్ హియరింగ్ డేట్ ఏప్రిల్ ఇస్తానని చెప్పి ఏప్రిల్ ఇచ్చారు అన్నమాట ఇన్ ద మీన్ వైల్ నీకు H1B అప్రూవ్ అయితే నేను ఎన్టీఏ క్యాన్సిల్ చేస్తానని కూడా చెప్పారు
రైట్ సో దెన్ యూ ప్రొసీడ్ విత్ వాట్ ఎవర్ ఐ టోల్డ్ యూ
ఓకే
అండ్ వెన్ యూ బట్ యూ హ్యావ్ టు గో బిఫోర్ ద జడ్జ్
ఓకే
అండ్ ఇఫ్ USCIS అప్రూవ్స్ ది H1 దెన్ యూ కెన్ జస్ట్ షో దట్ అప్రూవల్ టు ద జడ్జ్
ఓకే
అండ్ హీ విల్ డిస్మిస్ ద కేస్
ఓకే అండ్ ఫైన్
ఇట్స్ ఆల్ విత్ ద జడ్జ్ జడ్జెస్ డిసిషన్ ఇస్ అంత డిస్క్రిషనరీ రిలీఫ్ అన్నట్టు
సో బట్ నాకు కోర్ట్ డేట్ ఏప్రిల్ లో ఇచ్చారు సో డు ఐ నీడ్ టు వెయిట్ ఫర్ ద కోర్ట్ డేట్ ఆర్ ముందే పెట్టుకొని ఏమన్నా ఎల్లొచ్చాని
యు కానాట్ గో అప్రూవల్ అయిన యు హావ్ టు గో వెనెవర్ ద
కోర్ట్ డేట్ ఇస్
యా యు హావ్ టు గో ఆన్ దట్ డేట్
యా ఓకే అండ్ ఫైన్ అండ్ థాంక్స్
థాంక్యూ థాంక్యూ ఫర్ ద కాల్ అండి ప్రశాంత్ రెడ్డి గారు కపుల్ ఆఫ్ క్వశ్చన్స్ అండి బిఫోర్ వి సైన్ ఆఫ్ జనరల్ ట్రెండ్స్ ఎలా ఉన్నాయండి ఇప్పుడు H1 F1 కొంత F1 ఎక్కువ మాట్లాడాం ఈరోజు అండ్ ఈ H1B కానీ గ్రీన్ కార్డ్ ప్రాసెసింగ్ కానీ ఇప్పుడు సంబడి హూ వాంట్స్ టు కమ్ టు ది యునైటెడ్ స్టేట్స్ అండ్ గో ఆన్ F1 అండ్ దెన్ H1 అండ్ దెన్ గ్రీన్ కార్డ్ యూజువలీ టేక్స్ లైక్ అట్లీస్ట్ 10 years ఆర్ ఈవెన్ లాంగర్ నౌ
Yes, that's correct.
So, is there any hope for this situation?
Well, basically, there's no issue with getting a H-1, but you have to meet the requirements. The company has to meet the requirements. The requirements have become more stringent. If the job that you're doing is in-house, is within the premises of the employer, then there are not that many issues. But if you're working in the technology field and if your employer is a consulting company, and your job is, you know, at a third-party site, then they've become a lot more stringent as to what documents are required. They are asking for a letter from the actual client where you're working, like if you're working for Oracle or AT&T, they want a letter from them stating clearly what your duties are and how many hours you're working for, at what location you're working at. And they also want some terminology within the letter which says that, you know, AT&T is not your employer, and XYZ consulting company is your employer. That's the other, you know, issue that has come up with reference to who is the actual employer. And they want now documents to show that the actual employer is the consulting company and not the end client. And there are various documents that can be provided in that regard, which, you know, we could either get into now or maybe at a later point of time. So once you have obtained your H-1 by providing all the, if you don't provide the documents, it'll get denied. If you provide, it'll get approved. It's pretty, the standards are pretty clear as to, you know, what documents are required. And then once you have a H-1, then you can file for the same company or some other company can file for a labor certification. And labor certification actually is has become very quick now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taking only less than a month, actually, for the labor cert to get approved.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can file for an I-140. And the I-140 also is very quick because you can file for premium processing.
Mm-hmm.
And that could get approved, you know, within 2 weeks. But the thing that holds up, the last step is what holds up most people, the adjustment of status, on upon the approval of which you get a green card, which is the 485. That takes time because only a certain number of immigrant visa petitions can be approved every year. And there is a quota for every country. It's also countrywide. Unfortunately, the because of the number of people filing for Indian nationals filing for green card, the quota is used up. It's overused. Therefore, there is a waiting time. If you go to the visa bulletin, by going to travel.gov, there's a visa bulletin. And if you go to employment-based visas under that, and if you look at categories EB2 and EB3, EB2 is for advanced degrees, basically people who have a master's degree or a 4 years bachelor plus 5 years of progressive experience.
Mm-hmm.
EB3 is for the rest, everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
There's different, for example, for EB2, they're only processing labor certs that were filed in 2006. And for EB3, I believe it's labor certs processed in 2002. And remember, they're not moving every month. So it's difficult to predict now when they'll actually reach, you know, 2011. But as you can see, there's a wide gap between what they're working on and the present year.
My God, 9 years. So people are like,
I mean, they've told us that the people who actually the people who make the visa bulletin, the Department of State, we met the head at some conference last year, and he pretty much told us that for EB3, you know, it could be 15 to 20 years. And for EB2, at the present rate, it would be 10 to 15 years, unless some new law comes in. Now, the other category that you could file for is EB1, which is current, which is good. Mongar, you want me to explain EB1 or not at this point?
No, it's basically a lot of people who are in that business, they know only what it is. But
right, so EB1 is current, and that's a good
option. For people with extraordinary skills or something like that.
Right,
yeah.
Correct. Extraordinary ability in the arts or sciences or business field.
Right. We have a caller now, Andy. I know you have to go just a couple of calls maybe and then one final question. Hello, go ahead, Andy.
Hi, Andy. This is Suman.
Hi, Suman.
Namaste, Prashanthi Garu.
Namaste.
Namaste, Murli Garu. I have two questions, Andy. Among them, the first one is, Manamo, actually, presently in status of HSC H1, Andy. ఇప్పుడు స్టాంపింగ్ చేసుకోవాలి అని అనుకుంటే ఓన్లీ ఇండియాకి వెళ్ళాలా అండి, లేకుంటే ఆ బోర్డరింగ్ కంట్రీస్ ఈదర్ కెనడా గానీ మెక్సికో గానీ వెళ్ళి చేసుకోవచ్చా?
కెనడా కూడా పోవచ్చు, బట్ బేసికల్లీ యూ మైట్ హావ్ టు వెయిట్ ఫర్ అ వీక్ దేర్. సో యూ మేక్ అరేంజ్మెంట్ అండ్
ఓకే,
యా, దే వోంట్ ఇష్యూ ఇట్ ఇమీడియట్లీ బికాజ్ దేర్ సమ్ సెక్యూరిటీ చెక్ దట్ దే హావ్ టు డూ. అండ్ ఇఫ్ యూ హావ్ అ యుఎస్ డిగ్రీ, దట్ దే మోర్ ఛాన్సెస్ దట్ దే విల్ అప్రూవ్ ఇట్ ఇన్ కెనడా.
Okay.
If you have an Indian degree, then in some instances they may say, okay, you know, go back to Indian consulate because we're not able to verify your degree.
I have master's, Andy.
Ikkada nuncha?
Avunu Andy.
Oh, so then
2 years back,
yeah,
ikkada master's.
I don't see why you can't go to Canada or Mexico.
Okay. Yeah, I mean earlier, like, you know, some Murthy forums lo akada chusanandi, like, you need to go to India to stamp your H1 visa and materials, and so
I want to make sure
whether it's the right scenario.
No, you can go to Canada.
All right, thanks, Andy.
Okay, Andy.
And
thank
one more question, Andy. Actually, sure. You know,
well,
presently,
I-140
process on Monday. It's been like almost like 4.5 months nundi processing, initial review lo undandi. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I-140 process aipoyaka, if I want to change the employer, whether I can do that, or will my process still continue?
No, it won't. It won't, obviously, because the I-140 is for a particular employer. So if you leave that employer, that I-140 is no longer valid. It's only if you file a 485 also, along with the I-140, then there's something called an AC-21 rule, based on which, you know, then you can, if you 6 months are over since the date of filing the 485 and your I-140 is approved, then you can change your employer. But only if I-140 is filed and approved, then you cannot change your employer. But one thing you have to keep in mind is you can retain the priority date. You have to file another labor and I-140, but when you're filing the second I-140, you can retain the priority date of the previous I-140. So therefore, there's no loss in time.
I-485 anedi like mana, I mean current date kanappudu ante current date ayye varaku mana file cheyalam kada.
Yeah, you cannot file. So you cannot use AC-21. So the only thing you can do is at least try to retain the priority date if the old I-140 is approved. And
So, I mean, during that time, do I need to even apply my labor again with the new employer?
Yes. You have to file a new labor, and then when you're filing the second I-140, you port to your priority date.
Oh, awesome. Okay, thanks, Andy. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for the call. We are getting a lot.
Really valuable suggestions, Andy.
Thank you for the call, Andy. Prashant Reddy, we are getting a lot more calls. So how long you can...
I can't hear you that well, actually, when I'm talking to the other...
We are getting a lot of calls, Andy. I mean, just I want to do it based on your time, so your availability in but.
Maybe another 15-20 minutes.
15-20 minutes, okay. This is a philosophical question, Andy. One of the things, okay, anyway, we'll take a call right now. Hello, Namaste, Andy. Miru, you have to turn that thing off and background low.
Hello,
Miru, you have to turn that thing in the background, Andy. Sorry. Hello, Namaste, Andy. Hello, Namaste.
Hello.
Listeners, ko a request, Andy. When you are listening, please turn the background radio off when you get connected. Sorry,
yes.
We have to turn your radio off. Yeah,
Chappandi. Yeah.
Yeah,
hi.
Yeah, I'm here. Chappandi.
Yeah, hi, Prashanti. My name is Smita. Actually, I'm calling with respect to my brother. He has been here since past, I think, 10 or 11 years.
Uh-huh.
He filed his green card, but, you know, he filed his green card a couple of times, but two times, like, the company got shut down. The two different companies got shut down. So, you know, he couldn't file his green card. And I think his visa is expiring this May, I guess. So, but his wife is working, and his wife's labor has been cleared. So I know he could stay here by going out of the country for 1 year, and he could come back, I guess.
Right.
How could he stay? Does he have to go on H-4 and later on, can he convert into H-1? How does it work?
Yeah, so he's presently on a H-1, I'm presuming, from the last 10 years?
He came on Masters on F-1 and he got converted into H-1.
Oh, I see. Okay, so his 6 years are expiring next year?
This year, in this May, I guess.
Oh, in May. So you don't really like February, March, April, May. So what you can do to start off with is he can apply for a further extension and make use of the... time that he spent, recapture the days that he spent outside the country. So in the last 6 years, if he has been in India or somewhere else for at least 1 month in a year, then he'll get 6 months extension automatically. So you can recapture the time. So that's one way of doing it. Now the other way of doing it is, I mean, of course, H4 is one option. But if he can immediately at least find someone to file a labor cert now, and as I said in my previous answering somebody else, I said that the labor is not taking long. I-140 is not taking long. As long as the I-140 is approved, he'll get a 3 years extension. So I would buy some more time by taking a further extension based on time spent outside the country. and then I would immediately file a labor and I-140, and once the I-140 gets approved by do it premium processing, then you can further extend your H-1 for 3 years at a time. Now, the other option also is change status to a H-4 and then file a labor and I-140, and immediately as soon as he gets an I-140 approved, which could be within 6 months or within 3 to 4 months if you're lucky, if everything goes well, he can change back to a H-1 based on the fact that he has an I-140 approved.
Okay, Andy. Thank you, Smita Garu, for the call.
Okay, Andy.
Prashant Reddy
Garu. Thank you so much, Andy.
Yeah,
you're welcome. Wrap.
Wrap it up, Andy. I think in general, my goal would be to answer some of the things that are really community at large, and a larger number of people get benefited. And I don't know if I succeeded it or not, but there are a couple of questions in that tone I would like to ask. And in general, okay, like 11 to 12 years, at least that's how much we are talking about EB3 Lamiranatu. You must have seen a lot of sad stories. మీరు కరడు కట్టిపోయారో మరి ఎలా ఉన్నారో తెలియదు. చిన్న చిన్నవే చెల్లించిపోయేలా ఉంటాయి. ఎందుకంటే సో బేస్డ్ ఆన్ యువర్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్, వాట్ వుడ్ యూ గివ్ అన్ అడ్వైస్ ఫర్ దిస్ ల్యూర్ ఆఫ్ అమెరికా? ఇస్ ఇట్ స్టిల్ అలైవ్? ఇస్ స్టిల్ వాట్ ఈస్ గోయింగ్ ఆన్? నాట్ యాజ్ అన్ అటర్నీ, జస్ట్ యాజ్ అ కమ్యూనిటీ పర్సన్, యూనో సీయింగ్ హ్యావింగ్ సీన్ సమ్ ఆఫ్ దీస్ స్టోరీస్, మీరు వాట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ అన్ అడ్వైస్ యూ కెన్ గివ్?
Well, first of all, never break the law. Make sure that, you know, you follow the law to its fullest extent.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, sometimes even innocently, if we, you know, might not follow the law in some small instance, and it's not really a crime, but, you know, there can be instances where that can come back to haunt you and your life, you know, turns upside down. So always don't use shortcuts, always follow the law to its fullest extent.
Mm-hmm.
Second, the good thing now that is, even if you are forced to go back to India is not a bad place to go to. Presently, the economy is doing well, especially for technology people. I've seen so many people in my recent visit to Hyderabad. I've met so many U.S. citizens who are who own software companies, who are working or are working in software companies, and who have migrated back to India voluntarily.
Mm-hmm.
They have taken citizenship and decided, okay, now we don't need to live here anymore, and we are going back to our own country, and they're doing really well. It's surprising how many U.S. citizens I met. Everybody I met is like either a permanent resident is a little difficult if you want to migrate because you have to keep coming here, but most of them have waited until they've gotten their citizenships and migrated back, and they're, you know, and they live in both countries. Their children are living here, and they are living there, and they keep visiting. And so it's, you know, it's nice to see that they were, you know, they are where they want to be. So it's not that bad, Mohan Garu, anymore to not get a green card, or, you know, if something goes wrong with immigration and then you have to go back to your country.
And of course, there is a social safety net in India too. There is a social safety net in India. Basically,
yes, and you have family, your parents, you have a house invariably. You know, you have domestic help. It's easier for things to function and to be able to do what you want to do. So before we've always had these issues where, you know, entire families were forced to migrate back. And there are issues with children especially, you know, because they are not used to living in any other country. They're born and brought up in America. They're used to the school systems here. So it's a little heart-rending for them to have to pick up and leave and, you know, go back to a country that is alien to them. And that always used to upset me whenever that happened. And in the past, when jobs are not available, used to be, you know, even more of a problem because they just had everything here and suddenly they have nothing. But now, luckily, thankfully, because of the way, you know, the cities have developed in India, and also the educational system has become better, And it's become a little bit more westernized, so it's easier for the children also to adapt. And, you know, consumer-wise, everything is available. Whatever you have here is available there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that much of an issue now. And I see a lot of people migrating back, either voluntarily or some involuntarily, because now, as you know, Mohan Garu, H-1s are becoming more difficult. So if you, when you're filing for an extension, suddenly you might realize that, you know, it gets denied and your I-94 expires, and you just have to move back. There's nothing you can do. Of course, you can apply for a new visa, but that's a process.
Right.
So that has happened a lot recently. And then with this green card taking so many years, and if something happens in between that would break your status, then again you're forced to go back and start all over again. So that has happened also, I've noticed. But, you know, as I said, it's not as bad as it used to be. At least jobs available, things are looking up in India also.
Finally, about this Government of India issuing a statement about students being, you know, these electronic monitors on their ankles and all that. What's your comment on Government of India's take on this Tri-Valley situation? And also, I don't know if you're aware, Indian press has sensationalized as if DHS is targeting Indian community and Telugu community, as if, I mean, basically they're accusing DHS of racial profiling. What's your comment on this?
Basically, from my point of view, the law is broken, and if you don't follow the law, you have to face the consequences. So I don't see where, I don't know what specifically what comments the Indian government made. But the only thing they can actually ask for is lenience, because they have broken the law, knowingly or unknowingly. So you cannot make a strong statement saying that, you know, you're targeting, there is a reason for them to do what they're doing. And it's better, putting a tracker on your ankle is better than putting you in detention, which the law allows you to do. Immigration laws allow you to put a person in detention if they are out of status and still remaining in the country. So I think that's a better option than, you know, actually detaining a person and taking away their freedom. So if you have to look at it in that way, I would say. Often the people, you know, the reason why ICE officers would put a tracker or put you in detention is if they think that there's a risk of flight. If they think that you will immediately run away and, you know, mm-hmm. not follow the procedure as it should be followed, then that's when, you know, they usually do that. But they haven't done that in all cases. They have in some instances, and maybe they have their reasoning to do that in those instances. Again, I'm not saying that what they're doing is, you know, they don't always, you know, take the right decisions. I'm not saying that in that particular instance or instances it is the right decision, but they use their judgment, and it depends on the individual officer, and not every individual is the same. As you know, every person is different. Some might be more lenient towards immigrants. Some might have a natural tendency of being stricter. So it depends on who it is that has actually taken that decision. But, you know, the Indian media sensationalizing this, they have to report. See, a good reporter would report both sides of the story.
Right.
And they would give the facts as they are. And that's what they should do, present the facts and then let the public decide as to who is right and who is wrong. But you don't present half the facts and give half the story, and then you know, that's not good reporting, I would say.
Well, those are lab standards in an Indian media. Anyway, Prashant Reddy Garu, thank you so much for taking time and joining us and taking calls. I know some of the calls were more personal than probably I would have liked them to be. Then again, the benefit of this for the community at large is immense, and hopefully
about the calls that we answered, Mohan Garu, pretty much most of them were common questions that other people would have also, because a lot of people are there in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully, you know, the other listeners would have benefited from them also.
Again, thank you so much. I think hopefully we can do this more often. I know last time you came here probably it was almost a year and a half ago. For some reason, at that time when we wanted to do a regular show or an appearance on that, surprisingly no one showed interest, and now we have a lot more calls than we could handle. The calls are keep coming up. I know I just wanted to wrap it up because you have to go. Again, thank you so much, and we should do this more often, if you don't mind.
Thank you so much, and it was my pleasure to be here, and it was great talking to you and to all the callers.
Thank you so much.